We're beginning a new chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 12, entitled The Topics of Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized. Today we'll be doing texts 1 through 3. And I'll read the chapter summary, but I want to do the verse first. So we'll do the verse, text 1. Word meanings, Sutta Uvacha, Sutta Goswami said, Namaha, obeisances, Dharmaya, to the principle of religion. Mahate, greatest, Namaha, obeisances, Krishnaya, to Lord Krishna, Vedhase, the creator, Brahmanebhyaha, to the Brahmanas, Namaskritya, offering my obeisances, Dharman, the principles of religion, Bhakshe, I shall speak, Sanatanan, eternal. Sutta Vacha, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanan, Sutta Vacha, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanan, Sutta Vacha, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanan. Sutta Vacha, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanam, Sutta Vacha, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanam, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanam, Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Nama Krishnaya Vedhase, Brahmanebhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshe Sanatanam. Translation, Sutta Goswami said, offering my obeisances to the supreme religious principle, devotional service, to Lord Krishna, the supreme creator, and to all the brahmanas, I shall now describe the eternal principles of religion. purport. In this 12th chapter of the 12th canto, Suta Goswami will summarize all the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the first canto. Text 2. Yes.
Etadvakatitam vipra vishnas charitam advitam bhavad biyadaham prishto naranam purushotitam.
O great sages, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu as you inquired about them from me. Hearing such narrations is the suitable engagement for a person who is actually a human being. Purport. The words naranam purushottitam indicate that men and women who actually come to the standard of human life hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, whereas uncivilized persons may not be interested in the science of God. Uncivilized persons may not be interested in the science of God. Text 3.
Atra saṅkīrtita sākṣāt sarva-pāpa haro hari nārāyano rishikesho bhagavān sattvatām pati.
This literature fully glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who removes all his devotees' sinful reactions. The Lord is glorified as Narayana, Rishikesha, and the Lord of the Sattvatas. Purport. Lord Krishna's many holy names indicate his extraordinary transcendental qualities. The name Hari indicates that the Lord removes all sins from the heart of his devotee. Narayana indicates that the Lord sustains the existence of all other beings. Rishikesha indicates that Lord Krishna is the ultimate controller of the senses of all living beings. The word Bhagavan indicates that Lord Krishna is the all-attractive supreme being. And the words Sattvatam Pati indicate that the Lord is naturally the master of saintly and religious people, especially the members of the exalted Yadu family.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Now the chapter summary. The topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. This is the last chapter, is it? Or is one? Oh, there's one more chapter. Yes, there's 13 chapters. This is the 12th chapter. The 13th chapter is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So both of these chapters have to do with the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam began with an explanation of what its glories are, what one can attain from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's being emphasized again at the end of the book. There are certain rules for understanding what is the main point of a book in Sanskrit studies, or studying of Vedic Shastra. And one of them is what is emphasized in the beginning and what is emphasized at the end. So we can know from this that the Bhagavatam, one of the main points of the Bhagavatam is how important the Bhagavatam is, what an exalted literature it is. So the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized, chapter summary. In this chapter, Sri Suta Goswami summarizes the subjects discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is actually a summary of what Suta Goswami is saying now. What he's going to be saying, what we'll be reading coming up, and what we just read. The Supreme Lord Sri Hari personally removes all the distress of a person who hears about his glories. Whatever words glorify the innumerable transcendental qualities of the Personality of Godhead are truthful, auspicious, and conducive to piety, whereas all other words are impure. all other words, besides the words that glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are considered impure. Discussions of topics concerning the Supreme Lord bestow ecstasy, which remains constantly new. But persons who are like crows become absorbed in unessential topics, those unrelated to the Personality of Godhead. You know, in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, there are two verses, one glorifying the Bhagavatam that says that it can create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Any literature that does that, even if it's imperfectly composed, should be heard about, heard, chanted, and remembered by persons who are interested in the ultimate benefit of human life. So those, and then the other verse is that the words are, words that are not like that are like places of pilgrimage for crows. Of course, everyone is familiar with this phrase. So those two verses are quoted not quite the same, but almost the same. There are just a few words that are changed in this chapter of the Bhagavatam, so they're repeated here, making this essential point. So again, continuing this theme, by chanting and hearing the countless names of Lord Srihari, which describe his glorious qualities, all human beings can be relieved of their sins. Neither knowledge devoid of devotion for Lord Vishnu, nor fruitive work not offered to him, have any real beauty. But this is also an allusion, a reference, subtle reference to another verse in the Bhagavatam. How does it go? Nashobate jnanam alam naranjanam. It says there's words are actually that jnana is not beautiful. That's actually what it says in the Bhagavatam. That jnana is not beautiful, what to speak of karma. Only glorification of the Lord is actually beautiful, or really, it should be the most attractive thing. This is also from the first, one of the first chapters, I think the fourth or fifth chapter of the first canto, this idea. That jnana, you may think it's attractive or beautiful, but beautiful means attractive. So it's not beautiful, even jnana, because it's not going to give you the ultimate benefit. By constant remembrance of Lord Krishna, on the other hand, all one's inauspicious desires are destroyed, one's mind is purified, and one attains devotion for Lord Sri Hari, along with knowledge filled with realization and detachment. So there again we have these echoes of the beginning chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Constant remembrance of Krishna. Right in the beginning, when with this Shaunaka Rishi and the sages of Naimisharanya are, they're asking questions to Sutta Goswami. So they say like this, we want to keep on hearing because this is nectar. What is nectar? Nectar means it's beneficial. It's beneficial for the heart or the soul, for the living entity. So here it says some of the things that it does. Remembrance of Lord Krishna. The previous sentence that I read in this paragraph was, by chanting the names of Lord Hari, we remember his qualities, or remember his pastimes, his activities. Just like we heard in the third verse that we read today, what does Rishikesha mean? What is the significance of it? What does Bhagavan mean? And so on. So there, Krishna, of course, has innumerable names. So they're all in relationship to his qualities and his pastimes and his character and so on. So it says here, by constant remembrance of Lord Krishna, all one's inauspicious desires are destroyed. That's the first thing that's mentioned here, the first benefit. Your inauspicious desires are destroyed by remembering Krishna. There's another verse in one of the first chapters of the Bhagavatam that says, by remembering Krishna, then we get free from the bondage of karma. So who will not be interested in hearing about him? Because when you hear about him, then you remember him. So this verse says like that. By hearing about him, you remember him, and by remembering him, you become free from the bondage of karma. So who will not want to take advantage of that? So here it says, all one's inauspicious desires are destroyed, which of course are at the root of our karma. One's mind is purified by hearing about Krishna, because topics of Krishna are pure, so our mind becomes purified. And then ultimately one attains devotion to Lord Hari. And what happens when you get devotion to Hari? Actually, Hari was another one of the names that was mentioned in the verse that we read today. Then you get also realization, or knowledge filled with realization and detachment. So you get jnana and vairagya when you get bhakti. They come automatically. They're servants of bhakti devi, jnana and vairagya. So these are all benefits of remembering Lord Krishna. And again, you remember Krishna when you hear about Krishna. So this summary continues. Suta Goswami then states that previously in the assembly of Maharaj Pariksit, he heard from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami the glories of Sri Krishna, which annihilate all sinful reactions, and that now he has related these glories to the sages of Naimisharanya. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the spirit soul is purified and it obtains salvation from all sins and all kinds of fear. Salvation means to be saved, like the Christians say. Have you been saved? So we get saved by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We get saved from the reactions to our sins. So many places in the Bhagavatam, even today in one of the verses, it also says, you become free from sins. What this means is free from the sinful reactions by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're saved from that suffering that's due to us by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And all kinds of fear. Fear is always there. Bhaya. It's always there. In an embodied life, there's always some fear there. Unless you're completely transcendental, you've completely transcended the body. As long as you're in conditioned life, there's going to be fear there. In psychology, they discuss fear. There's different subcategories of fear, like anxiety, for example. You may say, well, I'm not afraid, but aren't you anxious sometimes? Aren't you a little worried about what's going to happen? We see the animals very, very clearly. We see how they're so, like birds, they're eating and they're always afraid something's going to happen. And even like the deer, they're jumpy. I always think, why are these animals afraid? I think most of them don't even have any predators around here. Are there predators for skunks? I don't know. But the skunk is afraid too. Fortunately, I meet them a lot when I'm walking. But they just run away. They don't, you know. And I think, why are they afraid of them? I'm not going to hurt them. Who's going to hurt the skunk? I don't know. But somehow or other, they're always afraid. It's just material life. So we're also always afraid of something. I used to refer to this book we had at BTG of quotations, trying to come up with headlines or something. So there was one in there that I read that was something like, my life is full of tragedies, most of which never happen. So we tend to think tragedy is going to happen, but a lot of times it doesn't happen. So we're always worried. That's my point here. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, shoka moha bhayapaha, fear is one of the things that becomes destroyed by hearing about Krishna. So we're continuing here. Through the study of this scripture, one achieves the same result as that achieved by one who studies all the Vedas. And one also achieves the fulfillment of all desires. Whenever I hear this phrase, I always think, gee, I don't know if that's a good thing. Fulfillment of all my desires. I don't know, all my desires may not be so good. So it seems to be what the context is, that really we only have one desire, that's to love Krishna, to be with Krishna, to be in Krishna's association and serve Krishna. That's really the desire. These other things are just, they're not really what we want deep down inside. We may think we want them. Just like I was thinking of this in the Tulsi prayer, it says that the Tulsi, we said that Krishna fulfill, or Tulsi Maharani fulfills all desires. But then in the prayer it also says, Mora e abhilash, vilas kunje diyovas. What is my desire, my hope, my longing? Vilas kunje diyovas. You give me residence in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan Dham. So that's you please fulfill all my desires, but not the crazy desires that I have. This desire, that's the one I want you to fulfill. Koto Nija Dasi, make me your maidservant. That's my desire. That's really what I want. So when it says the Bhagavatam fulfills all desires, of course, there are those who study the Bhagavatam, because what's interesting, I find, is that even though the Bhagavatam in the beginning, it says it kicks out all cheating dharma, it's not for karmakanda and so on, you find that a lot of the Pola Shrutis at the end of the chapters mention material things. Even at the end of, I think maybe it's at the end of this chapter, we also find these kinds of things. That if you're a Vaishya, you'll become unlimitedly wealthy. If you're a Kshatriya, you'll be the ruler of so many other kings. And you hear these kinds of things in the Bhagavatam. So there are those who see that and think, whoa, let me read the Bhagavatam, because then I'll get these material benefits. But of course, what's happening at the same time is that one is becoming purified. Those desires will be washed away, ultimately. So that's the Pala Shruti there, is to attract you to do the service of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And then ultimately you'll forget. Just like, of course, the prime example is Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to rule, have a kingdom greater than even Lord Brahma. So he was encouraged to, well, go to the Supreme Lord. Pray to ask him. He'll fulfill your desire. And then what happened when he got darshan of the Lord, then he said, Swamin kritarato smi varam nayachi. I have no desire. Just seeing you now, what? I had some desire before? I don't even remember. And he lamented that he had that desire before. So that's what happens. You get purified of those lower desires. So the Bhagavatam fulfills all desires, you can say in that way, by fulfilling your real desire. So the last couple of sentences in this summary. By studying with a controlled mind this essential compilation of all the Puranas, so you don't have to read them all. This one's 18,000 verses. The Padma Purana is, I think, 55,000 verses. The Skanda Purana is, I think, even longer than that. I think it's the longest one. So let's see how long it takes just to get through 18,000. You have to read all the other ones. Plus all the Vedas. They go on and on. The Vedas have all different divisions. There are Sanhitas and Brahmanas and Aranyakas and Upanishads that go with each of the Vedas. And there's the White Veda and the Black Veda. There's different divisions. It's just so much there. Millions of verses. So to master all of those, it's impossible. Which, of course, is what Jiva Goswami says in his Tapasandarbha. And most of it's not even available. Even the Puranas, most of them are not available. We have some. So we take Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amala Purana. Come, and here it says, the compilation of all Puranas. By studying with a controlled mind this essential compilation of all the Puranas, one will reach the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead. So here we have this qualification, studying with a controlled mind. That means with concentration. It's like that verse at the end of the Rasa Leela pastimes. Rasa Pantya Dhyayi, the five chapters about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it says there, if you hear this, Bhagavatam, which seems like romance. No, it's not romance. It's pure Krishna Katha. By hearing this Rasa Leela, which seems to be about romance or sex, you'll become free of all those kinds of desires. But what is qualification? Dhira. Actually, sometimes it says, it's translated in different ways. It can be translated to say, you'll become dhira, or the qualification is that you are dhira when you hear. So you hear, at least you have to have this basic mood of hearing, controlled mind. And if you can't, then better stay away. Actually, Prabhupada would often put it that. Sometimes Prabhupada states it very strongly, and there's one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, basically says that, you know, if you have any material thoughts, then you shouldn't be reading about Rasa Leela. So in any case, we're cautioned that at least be sober, be guided by the bona fide acharya in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the kind of thing that Prabhupada would lambast the reciters, the so-called Bhagavat reciters, Bhagavat Sattahas, that immediately they jump to the Srimad Bhagavat, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna's Rasa Leela, Krishna's intimate pastimes. So you have to have some qualification to enter into those pastimes, even to hear them. So here it said, with a controlled mind, we have to hear Bhagavatam. And what is the result? One will reach the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, just by reading the Bhagavatam. The last sentence here, every verse of this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, contains the narrations of Lord Sri Hari, who has innumerable personal forms. We often hear in the glorification of the Bhagavatam how it's all about Krishna. And when you read it, it's not always clear that this is about Krishna. I know I find this. There are many places in the Bhagavatam where I think, well, this whole chapter seems kind of mundane, actually. But because it's the point here is that because it's related to Krishna, so at least the advanced souls, they're seeing Krishna in every verse, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He says there is prema in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I read a chapter, you know, about, I often mention this one, one king is seducing an apsara. The whole chapter is about that, basically. It just sounds like a romantic scene, a completely mundane. So somehow, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this, then he sees Krishna. Because sometimes I wonder, we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, or especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that someone is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and they're getting so much ecstasy from it. Like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was told to read Srimad Bhagavatam, so he did it in three different tunes, and devotees would just come and listen to him, and they would get so much ecstasy. And I always think, well, they must be reading the 10th canto. I can't imagine they're reading the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam and getting so much ecstasy. But maybe they are, because of the level that they're on, because they're seeing Krishna in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the stature of this scripture. That's why in we're hearing here the end of this 12th canto, the end of all the 12 cantos, of all the 12 cantos, we're getting basically a two-chapter glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just to go over the verses that we read today specifically, the first one, Suta Goswami, the one thing about this is that this doesn't seem to have any connection to the previous chapter. It's like Suta Goswami has now decided, now I'm going to wrap it up. You keep asking me questions, now I'm going to wrap it up. Because we see that at the end here, it almost seems like Shonaka Rishi and the sages of Naimisharanya, they don't want to quit. They're just enjoying it so much. So they just ask another question. We were just hearing how about the Mahapurusha, the universal form. So now Suta Goswami just says, now I'm going to summarize everything that I've told you. And he begins by offering his obeisances to the Supreme Lord, Namo Dharmaya Mahate. So, Namo Dharmaya. One thing, I just make an observation here. You know, many years ago, Vinayananda Maharaj, he was first interested in learning Sanskrit, and he asked Prabhupada about learning Sanskrit. And Prabhupada said, you just study my book. Learn Sanskrit that way. That was the first way he responded to him. And he said, you just look at the word for word, and you can learn Sanskrit that way. So, I think you can probably learn something, but I don't think you can master Sanskrit. But if you pay attention, you can pick up things here and there. So one thing that I picked up is this. Of course, I'm kind of into English grammar and things like that, because what I do. But I noticed that these endings, aya, like this, dharmaya, I've seen that this means two. So two, namo dharmaya, two dharma. Just like Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, so on. We often hear in prayer, so it means unto Krishna, unto Vasudeva, and so on. So here we're getting this in this verse. Namo Dharmaya Mahate, unto the great Dharma, I'm offering my obeisances, or the greatest Dharma. So what is the greatest Dharma? That we're told in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the Dharma that rejects cheating dharma. In other words, it rejects dharma that's tinged by karma kanda and jnana kanda. Or in Jiva Goswami's, Arupa Goswami's definition of uttama bhakti, it's favorable devotional service which is free of any tinges of karma and jnana. In other words, it's bhakti, pure bhakti, uttama bhakti. So he's offering his obeisances, first of all, to bhakti itself, to bhakti devi, we might say, the greatest dharma. Namo Krishnaya Vedhase, unto Krishna, Krishnaya. Namo Krishnaya Vedhase, here it says Krishna the creator. So it may be curious, why is he referring to Krishna as the creator? Because we don't usually, we think of Vishnu as the creator. But who's the creator of Vishnu? Krishna. Krishna is the creator of creators. He's Sarva Karana Karana. Ultimately, Krishna is the creator. So he's offering his obeisances to Krishna, the creator. And Brahmanebhyo. So to the Brahmanas. So not only to Krishna and Bhakti, but to the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas means Vaishnavas, means devotees. Prabhupada will often make this point. We're not talking about caste Brahmanas, but, or maybe we might be, but when caste Brahmanas were actually Brahmanas, when they were Vaishnavas, namaskritya, obeisances to them. So then he says, now, dharman bhakshe sanatanam. Now I'm going to speak about sanatan dharma. So again, sanatan dharma is bhakti. So how is he going to speak about it? He's going to speak about it by summarizing what he's already spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then in the second verse, he says, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu as you inquired about them from me. So I'm not sure which inquiry specifically he's referring to, but in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya ask six questions. No, I never know those just off the top of my head, so I looked them up. I found I had remembered that I had come across this at one time in a Srimad Bhagavatam study guide, at least for the first canto, written by Suhotra Swami. So I Googled it, Suhotra Swami, six questions, and I found it. So this is, he quotes, and he says, this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the first verse of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first chapter, the sages ask six questions. And in the second chapter, first verse, commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur summarizes what those six questions are that Shonaka Rishi and the sages asked Suta Goswami. So those six questions are, what is the ultimate benefit for mankind? What's the ultimately beneficial thing for mankind? What is the essence of all scriptures? For what reason did the Lord take his birth from Devaki? Now one thing about these questions, they're not all, the form of them is not always a question. There's not always a question mark at the end of the sentence. You know, what is, for what reason? Sometimes it's a request. It's not exactly a question, it's a request. So this is like the next one. Describe the wonderful deeds of the Lord when he assumed the forms of Brahma, Rudra, etc. for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying the universe. So they ask specifically about the Lord's activities in relationship to creation. Maybe that's why we hear a lot about creation, especially in the first three cantos of the Bhagavatam. And number five, fully describe the activities of Lord Hari's incarnations within this universe. So I'm thinking that maybe this is the question that Sutta is referring to here, where he says, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu as you inquired about them from me. So his pastimes means his incarnations, especially Leela avatars, those are pastimes of Lord Vishnu. So he's saying that I've spoken about these things that you asked me about. Actually, Sahotra Swami's writing about this in his study guide. He describes where these different questions are answered in the Bhagavatam. So most of these are answered right in the beginning. He, just like this particular one, in the third chapter of the first canto, he goes through a list of all of the avatars. But he doesn't finish there. It's not that they're all taken care of in one sentence or each question is taken care of. There's a question and a response that exactly match up. But sometimes the response is quite extensive and it covers actually the whole Bhagavatam. So that's what happens with this particular question. Describe the Lord's Leela. So that goes through all the cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear about the Lord's different pastimes and his different incarnations. So finally, the sixth question is, where has religion taken shelter after Krishna has retired to his own abode? So anyway, Sutta Goswami is saying that I have narrated to you wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu as you inquired about them from me. Hearing such narrations is the suitable engagement for a person who is actually a human being. So here we have some strong words. If you're a human being, then you need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If you're an animal, that's okay. You don't have to come to class. No, or just hear. You don't have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, whether you come to class or not. But if you're a human being, this is for you. And finally, the third verse, this literature fully glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who removes all his devotees' sinful reactions. When I heard this, I thought, well, that's sort of a side benefit, isn't it? Getting rid of the devotees' sinful reactions. Devotees, they want bhakti. They don't want to just be freed of sins. But you find, again, throughout the Bhagavatam, so many places, says anyone who reads this will be freed of all sinful reactions. This comes up in so many places in our books. And just chanting the name of the Lord one time, you're free of sinful reactions, and so on. So we want more than that, of course. And that I think, is what, I've mentioned this before, that the word liberation comes up a lot. You'll get liberation. And I don't know what it means a lot of times. It's not explained. What kind of liberation are we talking about? The five kinds of liberation? It seems like in the context, a lot of times, it just means this, that all your sins are wiped away. You get a clean slate. And then you can start again making more sins if you're inclined that way. But this is a kind of liberation, just to be free from your sins, sinful reactions. Of course, what happens is that, because in one sense, if you're freed of all, of course, you can only have your good karma left. But the body would just stop. There's a whole discussion of this in the commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Is it the devotee's body? Is it sinful? Is it karma that's going on, or is it Krishna? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's just Krishna. There's no karma involved in this at all. It's just Krishna's taking over it, and he's handling what happens to your body, basically. And it's just sort of an illusion that it looks like there's some karma involved and so on. Anyway, it's a side point. So finally, he says, the Lord is glorified as Narayana Rishikesha and the Lord of the Satvatas. So each of these names have significance, which I was thinking of going into, but I won't have time. But I'll just mention this last one about the Satvatam, because Krishna is called here Satvatam Pati, which also comes up in the Bhagavatam several times. So Satvatam can mean just devotees in general, which is the way Prabhupada translates it a lot. But also Krishna comes in the Satvata dynasty. You know, there's this chart, I don't know if it's still there in the new printings of the Bhagavatam, but it shows the whole lineage that's described in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, how we get to Krishna from Yadu, for example, because Krishna comes in the Yadu dynasty. So one of the members of that Yadu dynasty is Satvata. Apparently he was a king who's mentioned, it must be mentioned in the ninth canto. So Krishna comes specifically in that line of the Yadu dynasty, the Satvata dynasty. So he's Satvata. So the members of that dynasty are Satvatam. And so Krishna is Satvatam Pati. He's the lord of the Satvatas in that sense. And just in a general sense, Satvata means devotees of the Lord, who is Sat. So, just to emphasize again the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam, I want to read a couple of verses. They're all over the place, actually. The Bhagavatam, how important it is to hear it, how much nectar it is to hear it is, how beneficial it is. Often it's the hearer of the Bhagavatam who states these things. But I'll mention these, a couple of verses here. The first one, quite strong verse, spoken by Lord Brahma. The context is, well, I won't get into the whole story, but Lord Brahma is speaking, and he's describing Vaikuntha planets in the third canto. So then he's talking to the demigods who have approached him. He says, it is very much regrettable that unfortunate people do not discuss the description of the Vaikuntha planets, but engage in topics that are unworthy to hear and which bewilder one's intelligence. Those who give up the topics of Vaikuntha and take to talk of the material world are thrown into the darkest region of ignorance. So there's some strong advice for us. So on a little more lighter note, you might say, positive note, this one is from 284. Now this is also Lord Brahma, I think, speaking this. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, or maybe it's Shukadeva Goswami, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly are always taking the matter very seriously. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. So we have the carrot and the stick here, both. These two. So this verse is very nice. Srinvata Shraddhaya Nityam. So those who hear with faith constantly. Nityam also means, it means eternally, but it also means regularly. Just like Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Repeatedly, regularly. Gunatas Chaswacheshtitam. Chaishtitam is quite a common word. It means activities. So the activities of Krishna. Kalena Nati Dirgena. So that means when little time has passed, baby, or not a long time has passed. Bhagavan Vishate Hari. Bhagavan will enter into the heart of those persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravaya, with faith. So this is nice. Actually, the second verse of the Bhagavatam also says the same thing. Krishna will very quickly manifest within the heart who, actually it just says, who once seriously wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the person who hasn't even heard it yet, the person who seriously wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will manifest within the heart in a short time. That's the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because why? Because it's Krishna. Bhagavatam is a form of Krishna. Can worship Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told devotees traveling on Sankirtan, you can put Bhagavatam on your altar, worship Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is Krishna. Okay. We'll stop here. Anybody have any comments, questions, discussion? Yes, Sri Vrindavan, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. We constantly hear that Krishna will be manifested in your heart, or you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, Krishna manifests in your heart, but we know that Krishna lives in our heart. So I think we need to understand when we say manifest.
Krishna's always within our heart, but he's not manifest to us consciously, to our consciousness at this point. We're not seeing him. So he'll come out from hiding. He says in Bhagavad Gita, he's hiding behind the curtain of his yoga maya. So in one sense, you might say he's hiding within the heart. Of course, he is trying to get our attention, but because we're not looking there. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're looking. We're indicating that we actually want to see Krishna. And then Krishna will manifest in that sense, manifest to our vision, to our consciousness. Because that's really the beginning of devotion, is the desire for it. So even the desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that's devotion. That's devotional service to Krishna. That's a devotional desire. And Krishna responds to that. So that's the idea, manifest. There's that nice description in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Right? So you invite the Lord within your heart, and you set up a temple there, and you worship him within your heart, and so on. Mama Mama Mandire, that nice song. Mama Mana Mandire. There it says mana, but mind and heart, same idea. In the mind of my heart, please manifest, O Gopal. Madhava Krishna Gopal, it says, please manifest in the temple of my heart. So manifest to my vision. Open the curtains so I can see you. Okay.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.